The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Yeah, you know, we haven't even talked about, well, first of all, good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Arizona State and CU.
Yeah, that's because there's not a whole lot to talk about. I'm not overly pumped up. I'm not overly excited about it. I was looking at the line today, and the line's like 14 points. I can't bet against the Buffs, but I'm definitely not betting the game. I'll put it that way.
You know, not interested. Nothing to make it interesting.
Oh,
here?
You give me. I mean, you know that like that line's not even close to enough right now. Like our quarterback can't even really. He's not even throwing the ball. Like
you got 7 points in the past 8 quarters or something like that, right?
Yeah, I've watched them all. There's not been any offensive production. Like it's not looking good at all, my friend. What's Arizona State been doing though?
They lost a heartbreaker to BYU last weekend. They pounded a couple of.
Can they score more than 7 points?
They got some talent. They have a tight end receiver type of guy. One of these. Which one is he going to be in the NFL? They got Jaden Daniels, who's maybe the top quarterback in the Pac-12 this year. I think so. I think he's better.
I mean,
than,
if they can score more than 7 points, then like I'm not feeling good about it.
They can definitely. Yeah. They can put it up. they had a disappointing game against BYU, no doubt about it. Good for BYU. But no, we're the Inferno is going to be ready.
All right. Well,
we're going to have Ralphie on a spit this weekend.
I wish I could come in with more confidence. I wish I could talk a little bit of
got
trash
nothing.
Right now.
No dude, juice, nothing.
I mean, have you watched any of the bus games here?
I've watched them all.
I'm telling you.
I've watched every single one of them.
The defense is respectable. They are respectable, and they've done their job. They've kept them in the hunt. Looking back at the Texas A&M game, it's like that quarterback for A&M was just so bad for the first quarter and a half that he kept us in it. But offensively, man, I'm telling you, I don't know if we've completed a pass in two games. It's been bad. It's been really, really ugly. Been good. Like it's been sad.
Well, maybe your competitive spirit will rear its ugly head at some point, but I'm up for listening.
I mean, look, I'm good. I'm good for a bet if you want. I mean, I just thought like I'm not excited about the game.
Let's go. Like what do you got? What are you interested in?
Well, same thing we do every time. What else have we ever done other than coffee?
Are we just doing win-loss? Are we doing a spread?
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? Absolutely a spread. Are you kidding me? The question is, how big is the spread?
How many points do you need to make it interesting?
17. Give me 3 extra.
17?
Uh-huh. Spread's 14.
17?
That's right.
3 above the actual spread.
That's right. Yeah, that's the way I'm feeling about that. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
I'll go 15 and a half.
All right. I mean, listen, you're giving me more than what the real spread is. I got to accept.
I'll give you 15 and a half.
All right. Fine. Bet good. Bet good. Right. I don't feel great about it, but
well, I don't feel
but
great
bet
about
good.
I don't feel great about the spread. I feel great about a win for my Sun Devils. That's what I feel great about.
All right.
But we are one day away from Pedal with Columbus. I'm feeling great about that. Got the jersey yesterday. Looks pretty fresh.
How's it fit? You look
well,
good?
Well, it's like... Good thing I'm in shape. I mean, I'll tell you that. I mean,
well, it is a bike jersey.
It is a bike jersey. I'm good. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It'll, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, D-Mac, keep working out.
Cool though, don't they?
Oh yeah. They're super cool.
I mean, they turned out awesome. I got a box full of the t-shirts right now. A box of my jersey in there. I'm excited, man. I can't wait. The donations just continue to roll in. I can't even believe it. I was out yesterday a little bit unexpected, but I was told that you were pushing it real hard, which I appreciate. Yeah. And the donation showed it. So we're sitting, I think, just shy of $108,000 right now. I think we've got a little bit more money still rolling in. And look, we're getting ready to rock and roll. I'm definitely, this is going to be a game day deal for me. Like if I was on the injury report, it would be listed as? Oh, I'd be listed as questionable for sure. I'm getting an individual workout with the trainers.
Not doubtful.
No, not doubtful.
So
no.
You'd be off to the side today?
I'm getting the individual workout with the trainers before the game.
Okay.
And, they're giving me like the special attention. They're giving me like the special workout and maybe give me the special shot. And then they're like, how you feeling? Right. And then inevitably it's game day. So you're like, I feel good. Like what am I going to say? It's game day. I'm ready to rock and roll. Right.
Yeah. But like, are you going to be like Bradley Chubb and get the ouchies like halfway through? Through the game?
I hope not. I honestly can't promise anything right now. I really can't. I have full intention of finishing this this event, but it's not been good. It's matter of fact, got a shot earlier this week. Unfortunately, it only did what it did, and that wasn't too much. And so we're here, man. I'll show up on game day, though. I mean, I've never not finished a game that I started. All right.
Okay.
You know. So I don't, unless it was Zach buying basketball, and then I tapped out.
Yeah, that was. Well, that we were playing by rules we didn't know existed because you didn't score a stupid
right.
point.
I mean, I got skunked. I got skunked.
Yeah, it's like 7-0, and Zach's like, that's it, that's the rules of 1-on-1, where all of us are like, huh?
And listen, I was happy to be done. I was absolutely happy. Get me off that court.
Kiss my butt, D-Mac. Herm Edwards, $3.5 million per year.
Mm. Somebody's making? Dang. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, Herm does all right there. Marvin Lewis is there. They got kind of NFLU there.
Oh, you know what?
They got all sorts of guys there.
Well, it's a really interesting dichotomy that they've got. Just the coaching staff, the way that it's set up. I mean, it's truly like Herm Edwards is like a GM of a college team.
That's
right?
True.
He's just bringing in the right personnel. He's super hands off, and he's organizing the coaches. He's organizing the roster, but to me, doesn't feel like a very typical college coach, where college coaches are in control of everything. It is an interesting setup. It's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they produced some pretty talented people, and they got their young quarterback, Jaden Daniels. We at ASU don't have the same issues that you got there at CU. I'll be back to we and us with CU, you know, on Monday. But
I did have some hope with Brendan Lewis based off the bowl game last year, and he just, goodness, it worries me. Like, I don't know if you can even coach it out of him. I don't. Like, and I hate to say it. I hate to talk about a young man like that. I hate to talk about a Buffalo like that. But I just don't know if you can even coach the desire to throw the ball on time into him right now. Like, he just looked like you want to talk about seeing ghosts, and we're going to break down a lot about Zach Wilson today.
Yeah.
I see a lot of that in Brendan Lewis. Unfortunately, that's tough for a young kid, because it's a whole lot more difficult for a young kid to overcome it than it is for a professional.
Yeah, that's like a Pac-12 after dark game too. Kicks like at 7:30.
Yeah. So look, I wish I could be talking trash, D-Mac.
That's all right. I got a text here from Golden in Arlington. I think that's Arlington, Virginia. Yo, D-Mac, were you at the press conference when Tom McMahon, special teams coach, said McManus could kick it out of the end zone every single time, considering how awful our coverage is? Why wasn't the follow-up question, then why don't you, dummy? I'm telling you right now, Golden and Arlington, you are reading my exact mind when he was going off today. I had to bite my tongue with Tom McMahon, and I did bite my tongue because I just didn't want to be a rude jerk. But I got to play you Tom McMahon from today, Tom.
All right.
Like, you know, I think I know you've been over Tom McMahon for a while. I think I'm there with you with this dude. I mean, they're just making things way too complicated. They're not getting the production they need. It doesn't need to be this complicated. And his excuses and what he's pinning the blame on, to me, is borderline pathetic. So you'll hear it. You'll hear what I'm talking about coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Oh, it's time to get fired up on this gorgeous Friday for the New York Jets.
Okay.
Zach Wilson and
well, people,
I call him the Big Pharma John. What's his name? John's. It's got Mitchell Myers, something like that. I gotta do their pass rusher. He's got like three names. Anyways, whatever. Hey, real quick, did you see Spieth on 17 in the Ryder Cup this morning?
That was nuts. I mean, one of the coolest things I've ever seen, honestly.
He was on. First of all, they're playing Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, which is right on Lake Michigan. Right on Lake Michigan. And he's on 17, and they're down. Like, they got to win the next two holes to have a chance. And They're playing John Rahm and Sergio. So, I mean, real tough matchup for Spieth. And it's like the shot that he has to play is impossible. It's like a 70-degree angle hill. I mean, ridiculous.
And grass that is like 6 feet long. And
impossible.
And, yeah, I mean, his left foot is probably 4 or 5 feet above his right foot.
Just stupid. Like, yeah, ridiculous. I mean, just pick the ball up, we lose, you know, whatever.
Right.
Dude hits a shot 2 feet from the hole. I mean, like, whoa. But that's not what has everybody's attention. After he hits the shot, he sort of falls backwards. And as he falls backwards, his momentum is taking him down the hill to where he's like running down the hill. He ends up maybe 4 feet short of going in the water. And then
it wasn't like just a short, like, little sprint. Like,
no.
Like, he probably had to, in order to recover his feet, he had to go 50, 60 yards downhill.
Dude, yeah. And like, how are you going to put the brakes on?
Right.
And he avoided bunkers on his left and his right, and he could have easily just fallen and bury his chin in the dirt.
I mean, very impressed by the athleticism.
And by the way,
the ability to stay on his feet was impressive. He's like a cat.
Nimble. Good feet. If he fell into the lake, by the way, it was like a 5-foot fall into the lake off a brick wall. It wasn't just like putting your foot like in a puddle.
Right.
So then they ended up, I mean, they lost. So that didn't help them. But the U.S. actually has had a pretty good morning.
Man, it is windy out there, though. Holy cow.
It's a very European type of course out there in Wisconsin. So, and the Euros more or less dominate the Americans in Ryder Cup. So good start for the Americans, although I'm not holding out hope. I love Ryder Cup, though. I love Ryder Cup play.
Isn't
exciting.
It fun?
Oh, I love it. Love it. I wish there were more kind of Ryder Cup style events during the year on the PGA Tour. I'm not sure how they would do like team golf, but it's awfully fun to watch. Tom McMahon and special teams. Tyler, I'm going nuts just listening to our special teams coach tell me for years now why everything's his fault that goes wrong on special teams. I mean, it's a cliche. He doesn't really mean it. So to me, it's so phony. It's either you're just lying through your teeth for years now, or you are so incompetent you should be fired. If I'm going to take you at face value.
Okay, all right.
And here's three. This is a little bit long, but here's what I'm talking about. The first three questions to Tom McMahon today.
Start off with the kick return touchdown. So what were the breakdowns on that play?
You know what? It's
all right. So first question, just to break these questions down. How you screwed up the return for the touchdown?
Hey, Coach, you're one of 8 returns in the entire NFL in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you've had 2 of those 8.
Right.
How'd that happen?
All right.
Start off with a kick return touchdown. So what were the breakdowns on that play?
You know what? It's what it comes down to is I got to do a better job of making sure they see every single thing, you know, during the week. So it breaks down in execution. And when execution breaks down, whether it's leverage, whether it's a missed tackle, whether it's any part of that play, that's 100% on me.
100% on me. It's 100% on me.
You know what?
I got to show them better. It's 100% on me.
So I certainly understand where you're coming from. I mean, I'll tell you this. As a player, it used to drive me nuts when I had a coach that wouldn't fall on the sword. And so, you know, as a player, I do respect, like, look, Tom McMahon, I mean, his leash should be as short as it could possibly get. Honestly, I'm shocked that they brought him back. Seems like a nice guy and everything. Was shocked that they brought him back. But that sort of response, D-Mac, I mean, as a player, I actually respect it. I do. I mean, you know, what's the point of him going up there and tossing guys under the bus? Like, it is on you. And head coaches, when they're talking to you, what they'll say to you is, hey, Tom, your special teams continue to have problems. So either you're coaching them that or you're allowing them to do it. So it is on Tom.
All right, next question.
So Spencer had that 25-yard punt return. How encouraging was that?
Really encouraging. You know, I think it should have been more. There was just one little thing off the backside that we could have got that backside block on 54. And again, execution and just the whole play is the biggest thing we have to improve on is, you know, it's like on the kickoff at the 15-yard line, there's 4 guys there, you know, and it's one of those things where you got to execute the whole play. You can't execute the first 4.5 seconds. And that comes to coaching. Okay. Comes to tackling and we got to get guys on the ground and it's execution on my part.
Okay. So now something positive, Ryan O'Halloran actually followed up with like, hey, this was a good play though. What do you think? And then he points out, well, yeah, it was good, but it could have been better, and that's on me too. All right, so the terrible kickoff return, that's on you. The punt return not going for Moore is on you. And what's number three?
What leads to that, and how do you come
out? Well, what leads to it is, you know, give them some credit. They're jumping into the line of scrimmage, and then our guys jump. So from that standpoint, that should never happen. Again, they got to see that more in practice. So if that's happening in a game, in practice, our look squad needs to be jumping at us. Because if we're jumping off sides in the game, we didn't get enough of it in practice. And that comes back again on me. We got to execute.
You know, I don't have any issues with what he's saying right there. I have issue with his performance. I have issue with the way that his special teams have gone out there and had issue after issue for a very long time now. I got a lot of issues with all that stuff, but, you know, what he's saying to the press, I don't really care about that. I mean, that's how I want a coach to talk. I don't want him to go up there and throw the guys under the bus. What do you want him to say?
The problem is, to me, in my opinion, when he says it's on me, and he says it relentlessly all the time, saying it's on me doesn't matter anymore. It's meaningless.
But what do you want him to say?
I don't know. Be truthful. Just answer the question truthfully.
By throwing his guys under the bus?
Not necessarily. Depends on what the answer is.
I mean, it is on him. It is.
Really?
The buck does stop with him.
On the kickoff return, it wasn't on Ford for losing his gap?
Maybe. Or maybe it's on Coach McMahon because he has allowed his guys to do that in practice.
Fine.
Maybe he's allowed them to do that in practice to the point where he didn't drill it out of them.
Cool.
Maybe you put a guy that was too new on the team in a spot that wasn't quite ready to rock and roll. I don't know. I mean, I do know this. He's the one that will be held responsible for it. So I no fighting with you, man. I mean, Tom McMahon has got problems. And he's had problems, and he's been on my short list for a long, long time. But I got no beef with the way he's talking right there. Just what do you want him to say? Seriously, what should he say?
It's been how long has this guy been here? And it's just every time when something horrendous happens, it's the guy is always saying the same thing. He falls on the sword.
Okay, but what do you want him to say?
I want him to be, at this point, I want him to be honest about what player responsibility was what. And that guy's got to play better, or you're just so bad at your job.
Yeah, but that's not going to help you. I mean, that's not going to help him.
I'm
at his job.
I'm over Tom McMahon.
Okay, fine. Me too.
I'm done with him.
Yeah.
There's too many mistakes over too much time, over too much time. And then when we're just listening to him, and I shouldn't believe a word he says, maybe that's part of it too. I know he's so phony with these answers. I don't believe anything he says. He's the least honest coach that comes up there on a regular basis. So my amount of respect for him is like zero.
Because
I think he's just lying all the time.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't respect his special teams. I don't respect the performance that he's put out there. I don't respect the product. No issue with the way he's talking to the media. No coach tells the truth. No coach is going up there and throwing his guys under the bus, at least not the good ones. And some really good coaches will do that every now and then, but they know how to walk that line. And that's a very, very dangerous line to walk when you go out there and you start calling guys out in a public forum. It's a very, very dangerous line. So, more or less, you and I are on the same page. I just don't care what he says to the media, because what he's saying right now, that's the best way to control his team. And if he were to go out there and start tossing guys under the bus, well, now he's going to have more issues, and it's going to be more difficult for him to get his guys on the same page.
Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I guess I'm just done with him. So, because I'm kind of done with him, and I'm done with stupid things on special teams, like, for example, Tyler. They were just kicked the ball out of the end zone. I mean, there was more in this press conference where he was talking about, well, we're doing this switch and this thing, and we're doing that thing and this thing. I mean, it was just like, wow, man, you really do make special teams way more complicated than it needs to be. Let's not overcomplicate things if you guys really truly can't figure it out. You got Brandon McManus. Just kick the ball out of the end zone if you guys really seriously are having this much trouble doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Never mind.
In theory, when you've got a kicker like Brandon McManus, they can get a lot of hang time and he can drop it on the 1 yard line. And in theory, you should be able to pin him underneath the 10 every now and then. I like the idea of not kicking out of the end zone. If you've got a special teams that is under control, doing their job and you know, their responsibilities are clear, no issues, fine. I like it. But if you've got question marks and if things are getting ugly, you know what? I would actually default towards your line of thinking and special teams. Like when it's getting ugly, just do the safe thing.
Right.
I mean, otherwise, if you've got a well-coached team, You should be able to use a kicker like Brandon McManus, put it on the 1 yard line and force him to take it out so that in theory you force him to go an extra 15, 20 yards.
Right, I don't want to get bogged down on stupid special teams, especially when the team's playing so well. We got other, there was an absence for the Broncos today. A really important guy was not there today. I don't know. I got to go through it with you, but it was a little surprising. Details on it coming up. Plus, John Clayton joins us next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We are joined by John Clayton, 104.3 The Fan, senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com. Joining us courtesy of Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good, how are you?
We're doing fine. Today, Malik Reed missed practice, not for an injury reason, but for a family reason. So hopefully, knock on wood, everything's okay in the world of Malik Reed. But I bring him up because he's the primary replacement of Bradley Chubb. And now Justin Cernadde is the replacement for Josie Jewell. Patrick Surtain is... filling in, Darby. Here I go. Josie Jewell's out, or Jerry Judy's out. You see where I'm going here, John?
Josie Jewell also. Yeah, you got it.
We got a lot of injuries going on here. Are we concerned about what's happening here with all these injuries?
You better be. I mean, everybody better be, because you go back to last year and there was 85 missed starts because of injuries or COVID-19. And, I mean, fortunately, the initial depth on the defense was good enough to be able to handle Ronald Darby and handle Chubb. And now what you're talking about is that, now there's going to be four potential starters that might be missing on the defense. And that's got to be a little bit scary. I mean, because, again, it's like on offense, you got Jerry Judy. I mean, he's out. And so now you can see they're so much thinner at linebacker with Jewell out and all those things. And, one thing that I know that certainly Vic Fangio has been preaching upon is how bad they've been on special teams and how they need to get better. And a lot of that, I think, goes to depth. And so now you start to wonder about the depth, particularly to, down three linebackers.
John, I saw you put out an article on teams that was a little bit of a surprise that they're 2-0 right now. I'm curious what teams you're buying, what teams you're selling that are 2-0.
Well, I mean, Tampa Bay, I'm definitely buying. Certainly I'm looking very positively at what's going on in Denver. Because, again, we'll see where it goes after this week. But, I mean, they've got the easy schedule in September, so that works to their favor. I mean, I'm starting to believe in Carolina, because I have them as the seventh team. But the Sam Darnold looks good. The defense looks devastating with the way that they blitz and all that. Still worried about San Francisco because they're injured. They have so many injuries. I mean, they're down their top four running backs going into this game. I mean, maybe as many as five. And so that hurts, and they don't have, Jason Verrett. So I'm not as sold on them because of their injury situation. But overall, I mean, I think that what's amazing is that you look at the five and the two win teams. Five of them are in the NFC. I didn't think that was going to happen because I thought the AFC was going to be so much better. Maybe with the competition right now in the AFC, that's got everybody more 1-1 as opposed to 2-0. I still think Kansas City is the best team in the AFC, and they'd be 2-0 were it not for the interception in the fourth quarter that came up with Patrick Mahomes and then the fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Is there anything that concerns you about the Jets?
No. I mean, I don't know what meals they're going to eat or anything like that. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, they're flat out awful. And you got Zach Wilson, who's a talent, but he has five interceptions. And so that's a big concern.
Have you seen his talent show up yet? I know we've seen all the interceptions, we've seen the mistakes, but have you seen the talent show up on tape?
You've seen the talent, but you just haven't seen the consistency. And that's, I think, a big concern. Right now, it's funny because in New England, Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels is getting criticized for for them being conservative with Mac Jones, but that's working. And right now they're trying to pull Zach Wilson down because they think he's doing too much. And because he's doing too much, there's too many mistakes. And so they're saying, hey, just be a little bit more conservative. And he's not doing that right now.
All right, John. Boy, I do have a question here, but this might get Tyler going.
Oh,
is Bradley Chubb a bust?
Careful how you answer it, John.
No, he's not a bust, but he's a disappointment because, again, availability is one of the most important things in the NFL. And you can see the availability just hasn't been there. And so bust, no, because you can see when he's out there and is healthy, the talent's there. But not being out there and healthy, then you don't get to see what he is. I mean, clearly, where you start to see, you start to look at the contracts of the future and all that stuff, there's no way he's going to get a long-term deal now. I mean, maybe, you know, they'll have the fifth-year option. Maybe they'll have the franchise tag. But it's hard for him at this moment to even think at some point he's going to get the long-term deal.
I appreciate it, John Clayton, courtesy of Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com. You can check out his latest and greatest. He's focusing on the injury situation at DenverFan.com. Yeah, Malik Reed not there today. It was like, oh, wow, where's 59? And it's always interesting. Usually these...
Yeah, so talk to me. Tell me again what's going on.
Well, these Friday practices are usually nothing, but we've had like a couple of them in a row where it's like, huh. You know, we had the, you know, Bradley Chubb, you know, tapping out of a stretch. Mm-hmm. And then now today, and it's a family situation, so who knows? And hopefully he's there for his family and wish everybody the best. I'll take him at his word that he's going to be okay and fine. But still, it's like, whoa, boy. I mean, I think the depth is okay to this degree, but Tyler, it does feel like we're walking on some thin ice with depth now.
Oh, depth has always been dangerously thin at outside linebacker. Always. I mean, you had Bradley Chubb and Von, like, let's go back in time here a little bit. We didn't know that Von Miller was going to come back looking like Von Miller. You know, in the offseason, there were concerns. We hadn't seen Von. We didn't know what kind of level he was going to play at. We didn't know what his health was going to look like. And that's why when we were going into the draft, I was one of the very few that was advising that we should draft an outside linebacker relatively high because I just didn't know what was going to go on with those two guys. And then you look behind him, and Malik Reed is like a really good feel-good story, and maybe he will turn into the next Shaq Barrett. I don't know. More times than not, they don't. Maybe he will, though. Maybe he'll be able to replicate what he did last year. And if he does that, fantastic. We don't have as big of a problem as you think. But still, I mean, if he were to go down or if Vaughn were to go down, what then, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, listen, it's still, the game doesn't feel on the surface all that challenging against the Jets, but you never know. I know, though, the weather is supposed to be absurd. Like, near 90 degrees, just absolutely gorgeous, maybe even a little bit too hot. But if you're headed down to the game, it's going to be the first full house in a long time. Man, we would love to see you. Myself and Mike Evans are broadcasting the Coors Light Fan Football Pregame Show presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook at Ironworks, which is right next to Mile High Station. So if over the years, we've been at Mile High Station. We hadn't been for the past couple years, but we're back right in that area. And this building right next door, Ironworks, oh, my God, what a beautiful building this is. So, and there's going to be kind of a festival atmosphere and bands. It's kind of a different vibe and a different feel from in years past. And we would love to see you there at Ironworks. If you can figure out how to get there, Mike and I will be broadcasting right up until kickoff. Got a fun story for you about how cheap Vic Fangio is.
I love it.
Which is interesting, and Robert Saleh spilled the beans on it. You'll hear it next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station. 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Come on now. It's easy to get fired up today. By the way, my pal Hayden Fisher, great dude. I'll show you this. He's got his pedal with Columbus. He did his packet pickup already.
Got a boy. Way to be ahead of it. I love it.
Got his shirt. Got his number on his bike already.
He's the responsible kind. See,
yeah.
He's the kind of guy, there were two options that were given on the packets. You could pick it up early or you could pick it up on day of. A little bit more rushed on day of. He's the responsible kind. I like it.
Like, yikes, I think I need to lose 15 pounds for that shirt to fit. Well, come on, Hayden, you can
do it. Easy.
Strap it in there, dude. Yeah, man.
Easy.
I'm ready to go. I am ready to rock and roll. I'm excited for it. I think you might be a little bit nervous about it, but I'm pumped for it.
Oh, no. I'm flat out excited. I couldn't care less, man. I mean, honestly, I'm going to be in pain, but I don't care. It's going to be a great day. This is what I've done my whole life. I played in pain, so no big deal, man. Just flat out excited. Flat out excited to be able to give an insane amount of money. Honestly, dude, I had this wild dream that we'd raise over $100,000 this year. I didn't actually think it was going to happen, but I set that goal out there.
Yeah.
And dude, we knocked it out of the park, and we're not even done yet. So, we're going to have a huge, check presentation in the morning. I know we've got a bunch of the fellas here from the station are all going to be there in the morning to be able to, just say hello, shake some hands, say hi to people that are riding in the vent. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be fantastic.
Tomorrow. Can't wait. No offense Friday. No offense, D-Mac. Are you serious? You can tell how cheap Coach Vic is, Fangio, just by the way he dresses on the sidelines. For God's sakes, the coach looks like he's wearing his pajamas. Hey, Vic likes to be comfortable, okay?
Hey, who doesn't?
Vic likes to be comfortable. I was just watching him out at practice today just to see kind of...
Wait, you think Belichick doesn't like to be comfortable?
Belichick likes to be comfortable. They both like to be comfortable.
No, actually, Belichick really doesn't like to be comfortable because when it's like 2 degrees out there, he wears his sleeveless hoodie and he refuses to put on like a parka. And it's just like, no, he really doesn't like to be comfortable. He just likes to be weird.
He has a interesting, I'm not trying to body shame here, but...
You can't help it, though. I mean, once you got skinny, you just couldn't help it. I mean, you loved body shame. It's all right. I mean, it's okay. I shame a lot of people.
He's kind of like a short refrigerator box.
Wow.
Like, because I've seen just, like, what he wears when he has to wear regular clothes, like at Super Bowls. Because all the time you see him, you just see him wearing coaching clothes. But I've had the thrill of just, like, watching casual Bill kind of, you know, saunter around. It just looks awkward, like it's just the jeans and the button-down shirt and the kind of the awkward grandpa sneakers.
It looks like a dude that is comfortable in life. I've made it. I know where I'm at. I know what matters to me. I don't need to impress anybody. Everybody's going to come to me anyways. I'm still going to get the young hot girlfriend that's probably half my age, and you know, Bill's got everything just the way that he wants it.
You know, Vic kind of reminds me of that too, but. He's got a lot of money, man. These coaches, they're not cheap. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, used to be working with Vic. I mean, I think Vic's probably worked with everybody at one point or another. He's been coaching for 93 years. And he talked about what he learned from Vic.
He's not much for words. And so I was my head was swimming, and it was a rough year, but I took a lot from Vic. I mean, he's one of the more detailed men I've ever been around. He's got tremendous conviction in his philosophy, and you can see his personality, and believe it or not, in their way they play. So it's it's been a great ride, and it's a pleasure to know him.
Yeah, and
he's an introvert, so it's but his interaction with players is meaningful. It's he actually has a really good sense of humor, and players gravitate to him because of his knowledge and because of his care for the player. And yes, he's got his way of communicating, but it's still super effective because of how convicted and how knowledgeable he is.
Ah, that's interesting perspective. Having a coach who's an introvert. And maybe a bit of a cheapskate. Fangio didn't he didn't remember eating with Sal at all.
No. I doubt I had dinner. If I had dinner with him, it would have been in the team cafeteria, because if I had dinner with a young coach, that means I would have had to pay, and I don't want to do that.
I like it. I respect that, Fangio. That's actually pretty amazing, though, that Sal can have such a vivid memory of something, and Fangio doesn't remember that at all. I mean, I know how that goes. I mean, when you're the young guy that meets with somebody that's impressionable, you always remember it. When you're kind of the settled-in guy that's meeting with the younger person, many times you don't remember it. But going out to eat with somebody, like you would think that Vic would remember that one.
How could we ever forget going out to seal the deal with George Payton at Elway's restaurant, which is a really nice restaurant, and Vic orders a hamburger? Then we get the story about Vic, like, he really doesn't sit down and talk to Teddy Bridgewater. He passes him in the hallway. Maybe they'll have a chit-chat or so. Okay. Tyler, an introverted coach. An introverted head coach. A guy who's kind of...
Is he introverted or does he just know what he likes to do?
I think he's introverted. I think the story is basically, we're going through time here. He's an introvert.
Is Bill Belichick introverted? Because I could easily see Bill Belichick being the exact same way out to you. Like, I'm here with somebody because I kind of feel like I have to, maybe because it's somebody that I'm mentoring, but I don't really have any interest in being here. I'm certainly not going to go out of my way to create a conversation.
Every story, though, you hear about Belichick is, oh, man, don't pay attention to those press conferences. He's really this. He's really that. He's this, that, the
not according
thing.
To his players. What are you talking about?
Well, his players, he's just a jerk.
Right. So I don't know, what stories are you talking about?
Media people saying, if you get to know him, he's got a good personality, he's friendly, he's got this, he's got that.
I've yet to meet that media person.
Oh my God, we can get Raul Martinez on any time and he can tell you about that. Tom Curran would tell you that. I mean, there's Boston writers that will have said that, you know, over the years, for sure. Well, and if there's a need to, we can. But every story about Vic is that the guy doesn't talk.
Yeah, I guess I don't really care. It's a funny story, like it's a crazy story.
I'm just asking you how, you know...
First off, introverts don't scare me at all. I would consider, nobody would probably believe me considering what I do for a living, but I would consider myself introverted. And I don't think that that has anything to do with leadership capabilities. I don't think that has anything to do with your ability to be a good coach, to be a good quarterback, any of the above. I know we've had that conversation many times with Justin Herbert and guys of the like, and I always end up at the exact same spot. Are you good at what you do? And if you're good at what you do, then it doesn't matter. Like, if Vic Fangio is a good coach, then I don't care if he goes out to eat and he doesn't talk to anybody. It's a funny story, for sure. But I couldn't care less. Like, Justin Herbert, if you are not the most rah-rah guy in the world, if you go out there and you deal on Sundays, I don't care whether you want to go out and give some sort of pregame hype speech or not, right? It just never meant anything to me. Are you good at what you do or not?
Is Vic a good head coach?
You know, we're definitely out of the category of saying that he's a bad coach. I don't know that we're in the category that we can anoint him just yet.
Okay.
But hey, we're off to a pretty good start. I don't hear anybody calling for Vic Fangio's head right now, right? You're 2-0. People don't call for anybody's head when you're 2-0.
Sure don't.
So, when we start playing some tougher teams and we start seeing some moments where the coaching really matters, we'll find out a little bit. But so far, it seems like he's got this team playing at a much better level than it was previously. So, I mean, is he an elite coach? No, I'm not going to say that, but I'm not calling for Vic's head, right?
No, it's working. It's working, and I think it's working because of Teddy Bridgewater.
Darn right. It always does.
I think that's it. It was the right guy for the right personalities for this team, and it's working. I still can't stand Tom McMahon, but to me, it's like, hey, I told you I find Pat Shurmur more likable this year. Told you that. I know that's a tough one to wrap your head around, but I find it more. Vic, I'm fine with Vic. I think I just have a better sense of, like, how Vic is operating. And really, it's the Vic relationship really is in line with that Donatel. It really is like the kind of the two of them together. And I didn't realize how Donatel actually kind of works with Vic, even behind the scenes, that people go to Donatel about issues or perhaps concerns that they may not go to Vic with, but Ed Donatel's there too. So that's a really important role as well.
Yeah.
And Shermer's got autonomy, man, and he seems to be working well with Munchak. You don't hear any crap. There was all sorts of garbage going on when Rich Gangarella was here with the other coaches.
There were rumors last year too about Pat Shurmur. So, you know, when you're winning ball games, everything's good. Everybody's happy. There's no drama. As soon as you start losing games, it takes a little bit. It's not like the first loss and all of a sudden you're going to have loose lips all across the building. But if you drop two or three, especially if you drop two or three straight, yeah, you're going to have loose lips and all of a sudden things are going to start slipping out. Like, I was hearing plenty of rumors about Pat Shurmur last year. Haven't heard a word this year because things look great.
Yeah.
You know, the schedule's about to get more difficult. And assuming we go out there, we handle our business this weekend, you're 3-0. All right. Well, now it's going to take one hell of a slide in order to get to the point where anybody's, really turning their back on one another. But we're going to start to figure out whether coaching is on the same par or not. We're about to go up against the Ravens. We're about to go up against the Steelers. And we're going to have plenty of moments where it's going to show up. The coach and scheme, X's and O's, that's going to show up.
Okay. Another picture of a dude in his pedal with Columbus shirt. A little selfie there.
My man, I love it. I love it. There. Love it.
I'm not sure who you are.
Can't wait to see you tomorrow, buddy.
Put your name on it, man. We'll give you some props. But that's going down tomorrow. And, yeah, man, hey, we're just checking some boxes here. But it is so positive, man. It's awesome. It's great. It's as good as I felt about going into a Broncos season in years and years and years. You know, to a weird degree, it even feels better than 2015. Because 2015 was interesting. Because it was so disappointing how the Broncos lost to the Colts at home. And Peyton just was hurt the whole time. And just was like, wow, is this it? And then it was crazy if Peyton was even going to come back here for year four. And we found out later Joe Ellis had to get on a plane and convince him to come back. And, you know, Tyler, 2015 wasn't like smooth as silk.
No, it definitely wasn't. I guess I'm surprised to hear you say that you feel more optimistic, though. I mean, anytime you got a guy like Peyton Manning at the helm and you got DeMarcus Ware on the other side, there's going to be a lot of optimism. There's going to be a lot of hope about the long run. Like, my expectations for this Bronco team, unfortunately, is that reality will show up. I mean, they're not going to be an undefeated team. They're not going to be even a 12-win team. They're going to come back to reality, and it's probably going to start happening over the next 3 or 4 weeks, and then you're going to have to start fighting for every victory, right? At that point, are you still going to be feeling the same way? I don't know. I guess I just look at the quarterback, and that's how I always feel my ultimate optimism. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I like him a lot. I don't buy that the level he's playing at right now, this elite level, I don't buy that that's sustainable over the course of the season.
Well, let's dig into the news of the day, plus an update from Avs training camp as they get into day two. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.